Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. Hey, listen, if he isn't yours, he wants to be. He can be. In fact, Lord of God tells us he came to be, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, according to the book of Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Well, I hope this finds you well. I know it finds you blessed. Without a doubt, friend, you're blessed. If you're living, if you're listening, if you are breathing, you are blessed in so many ways. And can I tell you something, friend? Debbie and I are blessed because you have tuned us in. We trust we'll be a blessing. We trust that we'll bring glory to God, and we trust, friend, we trust that someone will heed the message that the Lord has laid on my heart. I've opened my Bible to one of the greatest passages of scriptures in the entire Word of God, John chapter 3. For you that are Bible readers, you'll know probably without a doubt what I'm going to preach on, and that's okay. That's fine. It's not the first time I've preached from this passage, and by the grace of God, it will not be the last time. I do ask you that you'd pray. Sir, ma'am, if you're lost, it's not a perchance reason that you're tuning into this Old Country Preacher today. Maybe you never have. This may be the first time you've found me. Maybe you're passing through this area. Maybe you're listening on the radio traveling. I have no idea. Maybe you've lived here all of your life, but today you've tuned in. Maybe you've listened before. Maybe you never have. I don't know, but here's what I do know. If you're lost and undone, God's got a message for you today. God's got something that he wants you to hear, and let's be honest, you need to hear it. You need to hear the message of the Word of God. Well, before I preach, Deb's going to sing a song she's written some time ago. The title of it is, If It Were Not For His Grace. There go I. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you, we're saved by grace, and we're not saved at all.
If it were not for his grace, oh, there go I. This old sinful world, we are quickly to condemn those who cannot afford. But if you take a look at just what we see, if it were not for his grace, that could have been you and me. Grace on the cross should have been me.
that place called Calvary. And Debbie, thank you for that song. Listen, friend, how wonderful it is. And if it had not been for the grace of God, friend, if it had not been for the grace of God, none of us could be saved. None of us would be saved. But all the good news today is, friend, because that God sent His Son, His only begotten Son, into this world through a virgin's womb, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I tell you something, friend, it doesn't get any better than that. In the book of John, chapter 3, I'm going to lift up two verses of Scripture out of this classic passage of Scripture that's before us. I'm going to look at verse 7, look at verse 14, and I want to talk to you today. I want to talk to you about two divine necessities. Two divine necessities. In verse 7 of chapter 3 of the book of John, the Bible says, and this is the words of Jesus, speaking to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again." Look at verse 14. Jesus still speaking to Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Two divine necessities. Look, we find the word "must" in both of those verses. We find the word "must" in both of those verses. You know what "must" means? It means it's necessary. And these two words, these two verses of Scriptures, these two things that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus on a night that this cultured, educated, courtly, religious man came to see him tonight. Listen, he wanted to get a private meeting with Jesus. He wanted to have time to hear what the Master was saying. That man that he and others knew had come from God because of the miracles that he had performed. Listen, witness to them that something special was about Jesus, that his message was special. Listen, they were looking for Messiah. Without a doubt, they were looking for Messiah. No doubt Nicodemus and others, he said, because we, he used the word "we, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him." And Nicodemus, as well as others, wanted to know if he was the one. John had stirred things up in Judea, in the land of Israel, by preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He was stirring the place up by the baptism that he did when he said, "Listen, be baptized for the remission of sins." He was making the path straight. He was bringing the valleys up and the mountains down. He was preparing the way of the Lord. And listen, there was a lot of folks that wanted to know about this Jesus. This man by the name of Nicodemus came to him, and Jesus gave him two divine imperatives. He inexorably linked together verse 14 and verse 7 of the book of John chapter 3, and he did it for eternity. He said, "Now here, Nicodemus, I'm going to tell you what you need. I know your heart. I know it better than you." And you say, "How do you know that, preacher?" In the last part of chapter 2, the Bible says that Jesus needed not that any man testify of man, for he knew what was in man. He knew Nicodemus. He knew Nicodemus better than Nicodemus knew himself. "And by the way, sir, ma'am, the Lord knows you better than you know yourself. He knows, listen, your uprisings, your down settings. He knows your thoughts afar off. He knows where you've been, where you're going, what you are, what you desire to be, what you've done, what you're going to do. He knows you inside and out." And when Nicodemus came and he said, "Listen, we want to know something about you," Jesus, listen, told him, said, "Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Oh, listen, I imagine that shocked Nicodemus. I imagine that startled him. I imagine, friend, that he trembled on the inside, because you know what? Jesus knew his heart. He knew what he was seeking. He knew what he desired. And Jesus said, "Listen, in order to see the kingdom, in order to be a part of the kingdom, you must be born again. You must be born from above. You must be born of water and of the Spirit. Now listen, when Jesus said that, He knew that that would demand something. He knew that Nicodemus, in a natural way, could not be born again without the Spirit of God, without the help of God, without the plan of God, without the work of God, without the will of God, without God providing a way. Oh, look, Nicodemus said, hey, wait just a minute to be born again. What must I do? Must I enter into my mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus said, look, Nicodemus, if you did that 100,000 times, you'd still be flesh. For he said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born not from below again, not by fleshly means, but from above, by a spiritual means, by the grace of God. You see, look, Nicodemus was thinking about physical things, natural things, earthly things. And Jesus, listen, friend, was on a plane higher than him, speaking about eternal things, about spiritual things, not the need to be born naturally again, but oh, listen to this, sinner friend, the need to be born spiritually again by water and by the Word of God. Listen, by the Spirit of God. Which means by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, by the way. Now look, this chapter, look, this is one of the greatest chapters, like I told you in the introduction, in the Word of God. If you were ranking chapters, if you were having a challenge to pick out the top ten chapters in the Word of God, can I tell you, I know two of them. It'd be Genesis chapter 3. It'd be John chapter 3. Now, there'd be others that go in that top ten list. But these two chapters, friend, the one about when sin came into the world, the fall of man, how that Adam and Eve transgressed in the garden, and then God judged, and here how man could be brought back to God. These two chapters, no doubt, a friend, would be a part of that list. But Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, listen, you must be born again. Oh, friend, listen, there was a man by the name of George Whitefield. I mean, a great preacher of a day done, now gone and passed. And you know what he preached on many, many times? He used this text found here in John 3:7, you must be born again. He used it so many times. There's a story that says that a woman came to Brother Whitefield and said, Brother George, let me ask you something. Why do you preach so often on the fact that you must be born again? And Whitefield said to this lady, he said, it's simple. You must be born again. Listen, friend, you that are speaking to me today, if you don't know your name's recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you have no memory, friend, of a time where you, under the conviction of the Spirit of God, under the weight of condemnation, under the weight of knowing that if you die in your condition, that you'll die lost, and that moved you to go to God and ask Him to save you, call out to Him and cry and say, oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. If you can't remember a time like that, you may not be able to put a day on it or an hour on it, but if you can't remember that some place at your bedside, at a church, on a mountaintop, in a valley, under the mountain as a coal miner, on a road as a truck driver, you pulled over and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Hey, friend, you need to do that. You need to be born again. You say, why, preacher? It's the only way to get to heaven. The only way to have your sins forgiven. It's Jesus that said, friend, look to the sinner. You must be born again. Now listen. Listen, that's what God told to Nicodemus, this religious man. Hey, listen, he was the master teacher in Israel. Do you know that? He belonged to the greatest group, the greatest religious group there was that was known at that time. But oh, listen, friend, though he went to the synagogue, though he obeyed as well as he could, the Ten Commandments, though he tithed, though he fasted, though he dressed right, lived right, talked right, and desired right. Hey, you know what? Jesus said, Nicodemus, you're religious. Yes, you are. You're a good man in many ways, but you're lost. You need born again. You need a new birth. You need a birth from above. Now look, Jesus goes on to talk, and he begins to explain how that's going to happen. He said in verse 5, he said, except you be born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now let me say this. This may upset some of you, but I'm not trying to say it to upset you. I'm trying to say it to help you. Look, friend, this water that Jesus spoke about is not baptism. At this time, friend, Jesus had not yet instituted the ordinance of baptism. Do you hear me? That wasn't a part of the conversation. That would have been foolish for somebody to actually make an application of that. But Jesus goes on to tell us what he's talking about when he said, now the wind bloweth whither it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. And he said, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You know what I believe God, you know what I believe Jesus did, who was God manifest in the flesh? I believe he reached back to something here that, well, I don't hear preached about too much when I hear John 3 preach, but I'm going to use it anyway. Back over in the book of Ezekiel chapter 37, I believe he reached over there. I believe Nicodemus immediately knew what he was talking about. I believe Jesus was saying, hey, Nicodemus, you remember over there, don't you, that prophecy that God gave to Ezekiel in chapter 7 of the book that bears his name? You remember, don't you, when God took him down to the valley and showed him all of those dry bones in that valley, and God asked him the question, hey, listen, Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? You remember what Ezekiel told God? He said, God, thou knowest. You know what? God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to prophesy. He said, I want you to give the word of God. I want you to prophesy to them, and we'll see what happens. Well, I'll tell you, the word of God tells us that that Ezekiel began to prophesy. You remember the story, don't you? You remember what happened in Ezekiel chapter 37, and Ezekiel began to prophesy. Oh, look, he said, prophesy. He prophesied as he was commanded. It says in verse 4 and 7, there was a noise, the mold is shaking, and the bones came together. And he said, I beheld, and lo, sinews, and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And you know what God said to him, Ezekiel? We're not done. Look, we're not done. He said, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord, come, four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Do you see what I see there? Listen, I see the Word of God. Bless God. I see the Word of God and the Spirit of God brought together by a man of God. And to see the bones that were dead in the valley come to life. Do you know what it takes for a sinner to be saved? It takes the Word of God. Preach. It takes the Spirit of God moving on the Word of God, through the Word of God, into the heart of a lost man, woman, boy, and girl. I bless God to make them new creatures in Christ Jesus. Oh, friend, I wish I had time to develop that more, but I simply do not. Hey, I want you to know something, friend. God has made a way. God has made a way for you to be saved, for me to be saved. Listen, we're saved by the washing of water, by the Word. Peter said that, bless God, we're born again by the incorruptible seed, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth abideth forever. And if I can turn quickly to the book of James and get verse 18, I believe it is, of chapter 1, and I hope that's it. He said, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creation. Hey, listen, friend, listen. Do you know what? It takes two parents. It takes two parents to produce a natural birth. It takes two, bless God, to produce a spiritual birth, and that is the water of the word of God and the Spirit of God. But wait just a minute. Wait just a minute. None of that has any effect until verse 14, when Jesus continued to talk to Nicodemus. He said, now listen, Nicodemus. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man. Listen, God commanded Nicodemus and Tom Price and you, whoever's listening, man, woman, boy, or girl, that you must be born again. And in order, friend, listen, to see that that was made possible, Jesus, listen, committed himself to something. There was something that he must do. Something must happen to him. And God let Jesus, again, who is God, took Nicodemus and said, look, you remember Numbers 21, don't you? When the children of Israel were murmuring against me in the wilderness, you remember when I judged them? You remember how I judged them? I sent those fiery serpents among them. They began to bite those murmurers and complainers. And you know what they began to do? They began to die. And those that were dying called upon Moses and said, Moses, save us. Moses intervened. He interceded. He came to God the Father, and my Father told him, he said, Moses, you take a piece of brass, and you have it formed into a serpent, like those that are biting the people, and you put it on a pole, and anybody that looks to that shall live. Boy, it seemed too simple, did it not? I doubt that many people in the camp said, look, unless I understand how that works, I'm not going to look at it. Well, that's the craziest thing that I've ever heard. You mean to tell me I'll live if I look? There's got to be something I've got to do. There's got to be something more than just looking. Hey, can I tell you what? Listen, friend, sin came into the world by man. And you know what the remedy of that was? A sinless man dying for those that sin. God sent his Son in this world through a virgin's womb. Allowed him to live among us sinless for 33 and a half years. Allowed him to become the sinner's substitute. And unlike, listen now, the serpent that had poison in them, that was biting the people, crawling on the ground, flying around. I'm not quite sure what those ugly snakes look like. I hate a snake. Do you know what? Do you know what? God said you put one upon a pole that had no poison in it. Oh, friend, it was an image of that which brought the problem. Hey, the image of that which brought the problem have brought the cure. And you know what Moses told him? Said, if you'll look on it, they'll live. You know what people did? Oh, it's life for a look, friend. And it's still the same today. Jesus mounted an old rugged cross one time, had the sinless one, so they could die for the sinful ones. The just, bless God, died for the unjust. Hey, listen, do you know what the story, do you know what the story of the serpent is? It's a story of sin. God, listen, friend, God began to punish a nation because of their sin. But it's also a story of grace. God had a remedy. God had a way and a means for those people who had been stricken by the serpent's bite. Oh, go back to Genesis 3 again and read, friend, where the serpent bit mankind. It was a story of sin and grace, but also it was a story of faith. Hey, listen, friend, you can be saved today. Let's face it, sir, ma'am, you need to be saved today. You need to be born again. If you want to go to heaven, it's a necessity. If you want to die, if you want to die lost, you don't have to do anything. If you want to die lost, you just should have turned me off a while ago. But if you want to go to heaven, you want to make sure when you leave this world that heaven is your destiny. Bless God, all you got to do is look to Jesus and live. You got to say, I believe. I believe, Lord, in what you did for me at Calvary. I believe how that when you died on that old rugged cross, you took my place. I believe how that when you died some way that I can't explain, but God knows he laid on you my sin. Oh, Father, I hear that he laid on you the sin of the world, but I'm concerned about my sin. If you go to him and say, God, right now, I believe in the work that Jesus accomplished. I believe that that he died as my substitute. I believe that he was buried. And I believe that on the third morning, he came out from among the dead so that I could be saved. And I believe him, Lord. I'm taking him right now. The best I know how is my Savior. I repent of my sin. I turn from them and turn to you. And you know what God will do? He'll save you. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Run to him. Look to him. Call upon him and say, God, save this old sinner by the grace of God for the glory of God. And you know what God will do? He'll do that. He'll save you. Two divine necessities. Jesus did his. You do yours.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.